You're gonna be bad, you're gonna be bold, you're gonna be wiser. Well, good afternoon, Tampa Bay. Thank you so much for tuning in this afternoon. This is Kay with Bless the Next Generation, and I just want to introduce myself. We've been doing these radio shows in New York for about 15 years to try to reach out to the next generation. I was a high school French teacher, and the Lord opened up this door to help reach out because we have 20 million kids addicted to drugs, and suicide is number two. Hopefully this show is going to encourage you and lift you up, because there's a lot of discouragement out there. Depression's number one with adults, and we are doing a series of shows to lift your spirit up, to encourage you, to let you know how special you are, to let you know that there is a God in the heavens that cares about you, and He has a plan for your life, and you don't have to be down, and you don't have to be stressed out. And the reason I picked that song out is because you have to be bad, you got to be bold, you got to be tough, you got to be sweet, you got to have love, and you got to stay together, and love will save the day. And if we ever live in a day and hour that we are soldiers, we have to be like soldiers. We have to be forgiving and loving and humble, and we have to be thankful, and we can't be greedy, and we can't be angry, and we have all these things that come to steal our peace away. And these shows that we are doing is to lift you up, encourage you with God's Word. Now, God's Word, God created us, and if you don't have God in your life, that's your choice, because we have a free will. And when you accept God into your life, God's Word is the roadway to map. It's the road map to life. And in Christ, we have, in the Holy Spirit, we have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It says, if you humble yourself like a little child, you can enter into the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus said. And Jesus came that we can live eternal life. He came, and by His stripes we're healed. He came that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be filled with anxiety and fear, because you're going to be full of something. You're going to be full of something, and you can try all the sex, all the drugs. You can do all the sports, and pretty soon it gets boring. And I gave my life to the Lord at 17, and I'm a grandmother now. And I said, Lord, you can have my life, but I don't want to live a boring life. And I definitely do not have a boring life. But this is really boot camp, and this is not easy. And this takes a lot of persistence and a lot of tenacity to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And today, we're going to be talking about our words and the power of our words, because Gary's on his way over here. He's stuck in traffic, and that's what he wanted to talk about. But I really wanted to kind of talk about peace too, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And if you don't have peace, then that's when you start going to drugs, and you start trying to find peace in the wrong direction. So we're trying to get everybody to get on the right path. Last week we talked about Jesus is the shepherd, and Jesus loves you, and He cares about you more than you care about yourself. He is the good shepherd. He doesn't want the wolves to come and get us or fall off a cliff. And then the week before that, we talked about the blessing of Abraham, that Jesus said in the book of Galatians, that we are the blessed of Abraham, and we are redeemed from a curse, that he became a curse, and we are redeemed. Now, we have to appropriate these scriptures, and these scriptures God has provided for us. God's Word is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says it pierces down into the heart and the bone marrow in a man. God's Word is not like our words. Our words are just futile. God's words are eternal. And the Bible says he exalts his words above his name. And the Bible also says that the angels of the Lord encamp round about those who hearken unto God's word. Do you want the angels around you? Do you want the angels around you when you go to sleep at night? Do you want the angels around you when you're driving in major traffic across the state? Would you like to have God's angels protecting your children from drugs? Well, there's scriptures that tell you where the angels go, and the angels hearken unto God's voice, and they encamp round about those that tremble at God's word. So I don't do a great job. I try to focus on God's word, and I'm single, and I have many projects I want to do for the next generation before I die. And there's a lot of stuff that I want to do, and my energy gets depleted out rather quickly. So what I try to do is focus on God's word, because when I get up in the morning, my mind, the Bible says our carnal mind wages war against the spirit. My mind has so many things to do in the morning, I can start stressing out before I even get out of the bed. So what I do, I put my mind on what God says. And he says that you are going to have to renew your own mind. Now, if your spirit's born again and you've already have Jesus Christ that's taken all our filthy sins away, he washes us white as snow. Our sins are, our spirits are born again, but he's not going to do anything with our minds. We have to change, renew our mind. It's the same word in Greek, metamorphosize, when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. God wants us to be like a butterfly. He wants us to be free. And the more truth you know, the freer you're going to get. Now, you're not going to just be able to go to church on Sunday and hear the word of God here and there and think your mind is going to be free. You are going to have to put God number one. The number one commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the number two commandment is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, if you do those two, Jesus said, if you do those two commandments, don't even worry about the rest. The first commandment is the hardest one, putting all your affection, all your love, all your attention on God. And he said, if you put all your attention on me, I will keep you in perfect peace. And there's not a lot of peace out there. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of stress. You have to be determined. I'm going to put God's word first. And God's not going to play second fiddle. He knows when he's number four on the list. It's the same thing in a relationship. When you're dating somebody or you're married, you know how when you're at the top and you know when you're not on the top. It's the same with the Lord. You can't fool the Lord. He knows where our attention is, where we put our money. Do we put our money into God's kingdom? Are we putting our money into winning souls? Are we putting our money into reaching the next generation? Or just look at your bank account. You can see right where you put your money. And that's exactly where your heart is. And God knows when he's number one. And we cannot fool the Lord. And we have to set our affections. Yesterday, I had so many things going on. And I live with an attorney. And I was like, you know, I start off right in the morning. The sky's clear. You know, I just feel fabulous. By the end of that day, I'm like, wow. People call me from the hospital, somebody else full of cancer with three kids, the cancer went to his brain. It's just one thing after another, and I'm like this. Now, if I don't know God's word, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be wavering all over the place. And Jesus said, when the storms of life blow, if your house and your life is not founded on the word of God, those storms are going to beat up against your house and you're coming down. Because if your house is founded on your bank account or your intelligence, your house is coming down, because that can't save your kids. You can't protect people with your bank account. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you have your house and your foundation is the word of God, when those winds blow up against your house, you aren't going anywhere, because God's word is a fortress. God's word is a fortress and a shield around you. And when those winds, those anxieties are trying to beat up against you, that's when you stand on God's promises. And it doesn't happen overnight. Don't think you could do it for 2 weeks. It's just going to go away. Some things are strongholds, and maybe you got some something in your life when you were little, and you have an insecurity there or something. And so you have to fortify yourself, and it takes years sometimes. Abraham got his blessing at 101 years old, and we are all the children of Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. He paid his tithes. 10% of all your income belongs to the Lord. It's holy. He paid his tithes to Melchizedek, and Jesus did not do away with the tithe. So the first 10% belongs to the Lord somewhere in God's kingdom, and the rest of the 90% is yours. Now, we're talking today about our tongue, and confession is the key to possession. And I have all these cute studies every day because I'm trying to do a manual for the next generation and taking 30 years of all the little golden nuggets that I've gotten through Hard Knocks, because most of my precious little messages come out of a battle. And so anyway, we're talking today about confession, and God gave me this really cute little scenario, and it's all about our ears. Jesus said, take heed to what goes into your ears, because you are what you eat. Just like whatever you goes into your body, you fill your body with junk food, you're going to be full of junk. And if you fill yourself full of negative words, you're going to be full of negative poison. You are what you feed on. And if you're sitting there feeding on negative news, don't think you're going to be all positive. You have to have positive input. Man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, our tongue is the rudder of our ship. And the book of James says, you eat the fruit of what you say. And negative words in our brain, when you hear negative words, I think it causes like 10 deep rudders in your brain pattern. I mean, the rudder of the thought pattern is so deep, it takes 10 positive words to counteract one negative word. And some people, that's all that's coming out of their mouth is negative, negative, toxic poison going into your ears constantly. And it does affect you. And your tongue is the rudder of your ship. You need to speak positive words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you will eat the fruit of what you say. And you have to train your tongue. The Bible says that our tongue is the most unruly member of our body, because one minute we're blessing the Lord, and the next minute we're screaming at our loved ones. Okay, so we have to watch our mouth, and we have to ask God to cleanse us. So let's just say a prayer right now and ask the Lord to come in and cleanse our mouth. Father God, please forgive me. We just accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Fill us with this Holy Spirit peace. Please cleanse my mouth, and I pray over all the words that I've spoken that you will cleanse them. In Jesus' name, amen. Our words produce life, and our words produce power. If you tell a child that they're an idiot, and that you tell them that their whole life, they'll probably grow up like an idiot. It's hard to overcome constant negative words. Now, it says in the scriptures right here, it says, talking about words, it says in Proverbs 10:32. The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked is perverted. People that are wicked have a perverted mouth, and they speak perversion. Did God create them like that? No. We all came from God, and this world poisons us. The media can poison us. We have to ask God to cleanse us. Our words should bring healing. In Proverbs 16:24, it says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Now, I have a friend of mine, and she's just a blessing, and she's an attorney. She's just a no-nonsense attorney. But she said the nicest thing to me last week, and she said, Kay, when you're not around, she said, I really miss you. You really are a blessing, and you know, she was just saying all these nice words to me. And it wasn't just fluff. And she wasn't trying to flatter me, because she doesn't talk like that. Okay? And it was so nice, because We don't get a whole lot of compliments all the time. And God adores us. God loves us. God has put a unique gift on the inside of you. And you're listening to me right now, and you say, Kay, what does this mean? Well, what it means is I'm trying through my words to speak life to you, to get you in the Holy Spirit, to get that powerful gift that's lying dormant on the inside of you, to get you to be a star, to get you shining, to get you shining in the darkness. And if you look up in the sky, you see all these stars, but we don't really see all the stars because some of them are covered in darkness. The light is not bright enough for us to see all the stars. And maybe the darkness just has put your candle out, and maybe you're not shining very bright. I'm trying to use my words and put my words with God's word and speak to your spirit and speak to your heart and help you to become all that God created you to be. And maybe you feel like you're in the darkness and you're in the garbage can. It doesn't matter. Just come on out the garbage can today. Just come on out of that negativity today. Come on over into the light. Come into faith. Faith is positive. Faith is energy. Everybody always says to me, Kay, where do you get all your energy? Well, the energy comes from the light. It comes from the sunshine. And when I'm speaking God's word, that is the light shining out of me. But if I start speaking negative, critical things, then all my energy just goes away. And I wonder where all my energy goes. It goes to everybody's battles. Everybody calling me with all their stuff. Then my energy goes out that way. But people of righteous speak righteous, healing words, because words have power and they bring healing according to the book of Proverbs. It says in Proverbs 12:26, it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Have you ever noticed that stress and worry steal all your energy away? How it just is like, it just, all your energy is totally depleted. And you hear one good word and it makes you glad. And I have another friend of mine, Natalie, she said, Kay, I get so excited when I see it's you on the phone. And she said, you just make my heart so happy. And that's a nice positive word, because I try to talk about the word all the time. And I try to speak positive things to people and bring out their gifts. And Kathy, if she's listening tonight, she's one of my precious prayer warriors. And she helps me with this journal that I'm writing, because we're going to have a journal for you guys to help you stand strong in the days ahead with all your battles and take these gold nuggets and help fortify you. And so she helps me with that. But we all need to have somebody that's speaking good words into our hearts and lifting us up. It also says in Job chapter 4, verse 3, it says, behold, you have admonished many, and you have strengthened weak hands. It says, your words have helped the smoldering, the people that are about to fall down, to stand strong, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. We are supposed to be strengthening people with our words. Our words have power. The animals don't speak. We're going to give an account to every word that comes out of our mouth. Every word that we speak is written in heaven. And we're going to give an account for every idle word that comes out of our mouth, because God gives us an ability to speak and create and speak to people's life and speak healing and speak faith. And our words are powerful. Now, a wonderful person just stepped in the studio. He got stuck in traffic, and he's the one that really wants to talk about words today. I want to say hello to Gary. Gary, say hello to Tampa Bay.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. Glad to be here. The traffic is incredible. But I am glad I had the opportunity to talk with you. I know that Kay has been talking about the tongue and the powers of the tongue. And what I would like to do is go over some of the types of tongues, when I sort of speak, or the things that are said with the tongue that are so empowering or disempowering. The first one, if I may, Kay, is the lying tongue. And that's the tongue that, for whatever the reason is, has a tendency to lie, okay? And oftentimes we lie about little things, sometimes about big things. But we find that there are people that have a tendency to lie all the time, to cover up their inadequacies, to cover up things that they just don't want somebody else to know, or just like to hear themselves talk. And so that's something that we really need to really keep a close eye on, because it's so hurtful to both ourselves and to others when we lie about things. And we have a tendency to put ourselves in a position where we quite often are not able to get out of. And, you know, to carry on, and then we'll kind of switch back to Kay. We'll go back and forth. But I also wanted to just mention the flattering tongue, okay? It's wonderful to flatter people. It's a very, very kind thing to flatter. Makes people feel good. The only thing is, we want to be true in our flattering to make sure that the people that we're addressing, we are explaining to them, or we are talking with them, and we're being sincere about the things that we say. And oftentimes, Amen. It's very often to speak, and for whatever the reason may be, we have a tendency to flatter and not really mean it. And that's just an unfair thing to do to people.
It's unfair because our hearts have to be pure. The Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And if you're listening today and you've lied a lot and there's deception in your life, the good news is Jesus can cleanse you. And all you have to do is say, "I need a spiritual bubble bath. Lord Jesus, would you please cleanse me? Because I have spoken things that I need to put under the blood of Jesus." And Jesus cleanses you white as snow. And we are going to give an account, like I said, for every word that comes out of our mouth. And none of us are so pure that every single word that's coming out of our mouth is Jesus talking. Jesus was the only one that didn't say one thing wrong. We all have a power with our tongue. The Bible says the tongue is the most unruly member of our body. We all can lash out and say things that are very hurtful, and we have to forgive everybody. I have to forgive right before I get on this show. I get my feelings hurt right before I get on the show, and I have to forgive everything and everybody that hurts my feelings and calls me names. I say, you know what? I forgive them, Lord, because they know not what they do.
And I'm usually the only one.
And they don't know what they're doing, because none of us are 100% like Jesus. Amen, Gary?
Amen. Amen. Another type of tongue that's very prevalent in our society today at all levels is the manipulating tongue. Ha-ha. How many people out there say things manipulatively? I didn't think I'd get that word out correctly.
Manipulation.
Wow, that was a tough one. We tend to manipulate people. Sometimes we do that purposely and intentionally, but very, very often we do that with insincere motives. And we have to be very, very careful that when we're saying things, not only do we truly mean it, which of course has to be number one, but we don't want to do it to manipulate people. And there's some people, especially in business, especially in politics,
especially in politics. But guess what? They learn that at 3 years old, because I even know my grandson, you know, KK, are you going to pick me up from school today? And then I think, oh, he really wants to see me, but all he wants me to do is take him to Target and get a Lego. And they learn this very young, how to manipulate. And so I think we're taught at a very young age how to get our way, right, Gary?
Well, that's a very, very true. And with young people, of course, you see that quite often. With older people, something that we really need to watch out for, I personally am one of them. We call it the hasty tongue. We have a tendency to say things that not only do we not mean, but also sometimes we do mean and we hurt other people. And after thinking about it, second thought, we realize that we really shouldn't have said that. Quite often, we react to somebody's actions, or we react to somebody's speech, but we should respond rather than react. Responding means give it a moment. Just give it a moment rather than being
Humble
yourself a little bit, and before you use words come out of your mouth, because, you know, Emily Dickinson said something absolutely profound in one of her poems, and I'll never forget it. As a child, a word is dead until it's said, and then it never dies again. So let's be very, very careful, and let's not be hasty before we speak to another person. Give it some thought. Put in some love. Throw in some goodness. Throw in some kindness, and especially some gentleness. People appreciate that, as the tongue can do a lot.
And you wonder, you know, if you're listening in Tampa Bay today, and maybe, you know, you need some friends and you need some love, well, start with your mouth and start complimenting other people. Get your eyes off yourself and start using your words to create. Your words are a creative power. And if you speak nice, kind words to people, it will come back to you. And if you're hanging around people that all they do is say negative words, then I suggest you pray that God gives you people that encourage you and are nice to you. I'm not hanging around anybody that's negative. I'm not going to hang around anybody. Family members, I don't care. I am not going to have anybody poison my ears and hurt my feelings and bring me down when there's a lot of people that will love me and encourage me and stay positive. Some people are negative and they're pessimistic, and you can work with them and work with them, and then there comes a time where they're just going to, you're not going to bring them over, and you're not going to, they don't want to change. And so you don't let people toxify your life. And Jesus said, take heed to what's going in your ears. Pay attention. If you're feeding on negative stuff, it does poison your soul. And you can't live like that. Amen.
Yeah, Benjamin Franklin, he said something also very, very profound. He said that, which I think is very, very interesting, is that a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And with that, we could talk about the augmentative tongue.
Yeah, and we could spend a whole hour on that. That would be a very powerful message. And I just want Gary to know, because he just came in the studio late, but we're going to be welcoming New York City in 1 minute. So I just want everybody to know, if we have a little
interruption,
if we have a little music coming on, and it's going to come on, because we have to send this show up to New York. So please allow the...
Well, I just wanted to finish up on the augmentative tongue. There are people out there, and I'm sure you know who they are, they want to argue about everything. It doesn't matter what it is. They love to contradict. They love to argue. They love to prove their point, make you believe that they're the one that's right. But the problem is they want to argue about everything. Sometimes there's really just nothing to argue about. It is what it is, and to argue about it is just absolutely silly. Now, we're going to be moving on momentarily and bringing in our New York listeners, as we move on to the boastful tongue. And the boastful tongue, now that is my specialty, right, Kay?
Well,
I boast about too much, and
well,
I know
God,
that
you know,
wrong.
We're all a work in progress, and none of us are sitting here like Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that He drops us in the fiery furnace. You know, when you drop gold in a fiery furnace, all the impurities come up. And sometimes we don't really know what's on the inside of us till the heat comes up and we're stuck in traffic and everybody's aggravating you. And then what's down in there comes bubbling up, and you didn't even mean to say it. But God knew it was in there all the time. And God is working on us. He is the potter and we're the clay. And He's taking the clay and He's molding us and He's changing us, and He wets the clay down, and it's pliable. Now, if you're not pliable, then you can get broken.
And there's a lot of people out there with the boastful tongue. They talk about all the wonderful things that they do and how wonderful they are. And what that shows is a total lack of humility, which of all the things that the Lord dislikes the most is not being humble. Because we have to realize that when we are boastful, that everything that you have and everything that you are and whatever you boast about is given to you by God. It's not yours. It was given to you out of the grace of God. So when you are boastful, you're taking on the, I would say, the ownership of things that are really not yours, but
just
given to you.
God gets all the glory. And we have this song coming on right now where you got to be tough, you got to be bold, you got to be strong, you got to be wiser, but love will save the day.